What I want to do is I want to give a basic introduction to why we're here, what we're doing, the purpose of this conference, and basic things that will just lay the foundation. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, there's so much that we have the potential to cover, God. Lord, I ask that everything I say will be straight from you, that the things that the things I leave out will be in your will, and the things that I include will be in your will. Lord, I pray for the speakers that are coming. Lord, God, I thank you for their willingness to show up and teach us about other religions and about what your word says about other religions, God. Thank you so much that you are the true God, that you are global, and that you have a goal in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would see that more than ever, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, what I've been soaking in and just marinating in these last couple of days is the truth of Christ, the truth of Christianity and what it presents. And what I want to do in this session is give you a basic outline of several things. We'll take a look at them. Look at Acts chapter 17, verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Now, why would that cause distress in Paul, that the city was full of idols? Okay, goes against one of the commandments, right? Anyone else? And you just throw out some ideas, just bounce them off.
Did he just finish preaching all of them?
He finished preaching in a city before that, in Berea, yeah.
People were putting these gods before
our God. Yeah, people are putting other gods before the one true God. Now, when I go, when I'm driving somewhere and I have my GPS, if I turn the wrong direction, what's the thing that comes on the GPS?
Recalculating.
You know, make a U-turn. And then, if I go in the wrong direction, it'll take me another path. If you drive to my house, there's many different directions to get to my house. Sometimes when Sam's going, Sam likes to take one way, and I'll take one way, we'll see who gets there first. Obeying the law. there's many different ways you can get to a different location. Is that true when it comes to heaven? No. Are there different paths to heaven? Are there different ways, or is there only one way? There's one way. Now, let me stress this, because Oprah will disagree with me. And we're not sure if Joel Osteen will disagree with me or not. We're never sure. But let me show you something. Flip up to John 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. And you will run across this. You'll have people, New Age people. New Age people will say there's many directions to heaven. There's many paths. This verse seemed to log away. This is Jesus Himself, God Himself speaking. And He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Now, he makes a really bold statement in there. He says several things. He says he's the truth, himself, the truth, the way, and the life. And no one can get to heaven but through him. I've been told that that's narrow-minded. That that's putting God in a box. That's bigoted. That's just a slew of different words. And let me give you a different perspective. Put yourself in God's position. If you're God, and you realize that humanity is erred, sinned, and they're straying away, and you spend everything you have in order to send your Son to die for them on the cross as the only way. You remember when Jesus was in the garden? He prayed three different times. He says, if there's another way, if this can pass, let it. And what's God say? This is the only way, not my will, but your will be done. So God, the only way to redeem humanity, sends His Son to die on a cross and to shed His blood for our sins, rise 3 days later, and then people have the audacity to say that there's more than one way than the cross. How would you feel if you're God? If you just sacrificed your only Son as the only way to heaven, told people that, and then they say, in their prideful state, they say, no, I have a better way. Do you see the different perspective, that twist on there? Let me show you. Now, this is very confrontational, but today, for some reason, because the church is so tolerant. But look at, I believe it's Acts 9. Look at Acts 9, verse 2. Yeah, Acts 9, verse 2. Well, we'll read verse 1 to get context. Meanwhile, Saul... Who's Saul?
Paul.
Saul changes to Paul after he's converted, right? Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any of those who belonged to the what? The way. Whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. The early church was first called the what? The way. Where do they get that? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the early church was totally convinced that Jesus was the only way to heaven, and they did not flip-flop on this. They didn't say, well, I don't know, maybe. No, they were known for their dogmatic view that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven because he died for us. Now, there's some blanks there on your sheets. Paul was confronted, then convicted, and then converted. Now check that out. Paul was confronted, convicted, and then converted. If the church had been tolerant and said, well, maybe, Paul never would have been converted. Paul never would have seen something different about them. There's many, many people. I'm thinking of one in particular, Joel Osteen, when he was on... I'm not dogging Joel Osteen, but I just want to use this point. He was asked, is Jesus the only one, only way to heaven? And he waffled, he beat around the bush, he didn't really answer the question. Comes out, he releases a statement a couple days later that says, oh, I was tired, I had jet lag, I really wasn't sure what I was saying, I didn't mean what I said. Look at... look at 1 Samuel. I want to nail this. I want to nail this home. I'm sorry, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 12. I want to nail this in your brain so you have this nailed down. Does anyone know what's going on here in 2 Samuel? Bathsheba. David commits adultery with Bathsheba, and then what's he do? He tries to kill Uriah. He sends him to the front of the battle lines. Now catch this. Before David kills Uriah, David invites Uriah to a banquet. He pulls him out of the war, invites him to a banquet hall, and wants him to go home to sleep with his wife so it looks like their baby isn't David's baby, but it's really Uriah's baby. Now check this out. David has him, and he's feeding him, he's just giving him food, and he wants Uriah to go home. But Uriah wasn't going home. Does anyone know why Uriah wouldn't go home?
Because he said his men were sick.
Yeah, he said, if my men are out on the field with the Lord fighting, how can I sleep in a palace with luxury when I should be out in the tents? And check this out. This is the thing that even David missed. Look at verse 12. Then David said to him, stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back. And so Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. And at David's invitation, he ate and he drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep, not at his house, but on his mat among his master's servants, and he did not go home. Here's my point. Whether you're having a good day, a bad day, a rainy day, a jet lag day, a tired day, there's certain things in your theology that you should not mess up. One of them is Jesus is the only way to heaven. I don't care if you're tired, you're sick, you're falling over. Your doctrinal statement should not waver based on that. Uriah was flat out drunk and he still stayed committed to the Lord. Did you catch that? He was in a weird state of mind, and yet he still knew to do right. Now, if we were that firm, that strong, and our Christian faith, how would the world, how would our culture see us differently? We wouldn't be weak, backbone. So anyway, that's all that point. That was free. That wasn't in my notes. That was free. Okay. Let me give you some things as we talk about world religions. I'm just going to throw some things out so you have a basis of why other cultures and other religions think the way they do. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. This is Paul speaking. He says, "Brothers, my heart's desire in prayer to God for the Israelites, the Jewish people, is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous, passionate for God, but their zeal is not based on what?
Knowledge.
I was talking with someone, a relative of mine, and they were saying, but Sean, the Muslims, they're so sincere. And some of them are so sincere to God. And are you telling me that they're not going to heaven? Check out this verse. They were zealous, they were passionate, they were sincere, but they were wrong. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Have you ever really been convinced of something? Where was it, Ian? I was with you. We saw someone's car. I think we were looking for Anna's car. And Anna drives by and we're like, that's Anna's car. We know that's Anna's car. And someone had wrote on our windshields. And so we were like, we know that's Anna's car. Anna's tricky. And she the same color car, the same bug, the same everything on her car. And we were like, that has got to be Anna. So Ian and I are dogmatically and utterly convinced it's Anna. And we're just like, we're going to go to her house, we're going to write stuff on her car, and we're going to get her back later, and it'll be fun, and we'll get her. And we were so sure, I mean, we were like passionately sure it was her. And then we get to her house, and we realize that she has this yellow sticker on the back of her car, and we're like, the car we saw didn't have that. And then we look at it and we're like, and she has flowers in the front of her car. Well, the car we saw didn't have that. And we're like, wow, Anna didn't do that to us. We feel really dumb. The point is, there's things like that. We were zealous and passionate based on little knowledge. We didn't have the whole truth. We had our desires and everything that we were going to do and our whole belief system for that night based on false information, on a false concept. And that's the way, the same thing applies to false religions. All right, next thing. Look at Acts. Go back to Acts. Paul's distressed about the idols. And in verse 17, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day in and day out with those who happened to be there. Skip down to verse 19. And they took him to a meeting where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." And all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. And Paul stands up in the meeting and he says, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you." And then he says, he begins to go into the gospel. Now there's several things that you'll find universal, across the board, universally about different religions. And people for that matter. The first thing is, there is a universal knowledge of God. People are born. Ecclesiastes says that eternity has been placed in our hearts. People are born with an innate knowledge of a God, a creator. Atheists have to choose to be an atheist. They're not born atheists. They don't wake up and say, oh, you know, when they're three, oh, there's no God. No, later on, something in life happens to them or something occurs and they choose to be an atheist. The second thing is, there is a universal knowledge of a goal. Not just a God, but a goal. A universal knowledge of something's not right with the present state, and I need to do something in order to achieve eternal life. Or in order to achieve favor with the gods. In order to achieve something. There's something wrong with where I'm at, and all religions across the board require something. What's interesting, and you might want to write this down, this separates Christianity from the other religions. All the other religions, if you look at them, and you will, and tell me if I'm wrong before the end of the weekend, all the other religions are reaching up to God. Christianity is God reaches down to man. Works and religious things. Paul says they're very religious. They did all these things. They worshiped these certain times. They had to do all these requirements. All works-based. And Christianity, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, not of works. It is the gift of God, so that no man may boast. Works are a product of what? Faith. Works are not a requirement to enter heaven in Christianity. Works are a product of a changed life. James talks about that. So anyway, that's a clarification there. Let's look at... keep going, and I want to show you two more things, and then we'll conclude. Verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of the heaven and the earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. So I want to show you, here's the theme. We're getting ready to see the theme of our conference. You ready? The God, one God, does not live in a temple made by hands. He made the heavens and the earth. One God, one globe. From man, he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. And I love that. Let me read that again. All right, check this out. He determined the times set for them. God determined, before we were ever around, this time, right now. There's something he wants to tell you through this conference, through this scrawny little senior graduated guy. There's something he wants to speak through one of the speakers. I don't know who it is. Maybe God will stick a burden on your heart for a certain religion, and you'll spread the gospel to that religion. To those people of that faith. I don't know what God has in store for you this weekend, but I guarantee you, He ordained the time and the place. He ordained this exact place, Donaldson Christian Academy, for you, for this moment. Verse 27, God did this so that men would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each of us. One God, one globe, one goal. What's God's goal? It's summed up in verse 27. God did this so that men might seek Him, reach out and find Him. When God reaches down, then man grasps His hand and salvation has come. That's God's goal. One globe, one God, one goal. Look at this. Look at... Paul goes on. He talks about, he uses some of their theology, and he kind of throws it back at them, and it's really cool how he does that. Look at verse 31. In past, now this verse we're going to talk about at the last session. In past, God overlooked, come on in, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. For He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. And He has given this proof to all men by what? Raising Him from the dead. Here's what separates... I'm going to give you two things. And these are the two main things. There's many things. I could come to you, I could talk about the authority of Scripture. I could talk about how the Bible, written over 1,500 years with over 40 different authors, over three different continents, three different languages, and all never contradicts each other, all in one book. That's an incredible thing. Compared to the Quran, totally different. Totally different. But the two things that I think separate Christianity even more than that is the first one is grace. Grace. No other religion, God comes to earth to meet man in his sin, because man could not help himself. And secondly, the other one is the grave. The grave. Buddha's dead. Joseph Smith is dead. Muhammad's dead. And if you look at any religion, any of the prophets, Any of the figures? The Hindu gods never lived? Jehovah's Witness? Oh, we'll talk about them. We'll talk about them tomorrow. Jesus Christ is the only one who's come back from the dead. I was talking on his own. Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. And other people, Elijah raised someone from the dead. But he is the first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits, the only one to come back on his own. I was talking with someone in Memphis. I went on a mission trip to Memphis. And we were on Beale Street in the Peabody Hotel. And we were talking with this lady, and she said something like, "Well, I'm an atheist or an agnostic." And no one's ever come back from the dead to tell us what happens after life, so I don't think we can be sure of the afterlife. I got to thinking about that statement. She said, "No one's ever come back to tell me what happens after we die." That's wrong. Christ has come back to tell us how to have eternal life. The grace and the grave separate Christianity. What's 1 Corinthians 15 say? "When corruption is put on incorruption, and mortality is put on immortality, then the saying which has been written will be brought to pass. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? For the sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." No other religion can claim that. No other religion can stake that in the ground. And I pray that you'll see that. Look at Isaiah 45. Check this out. And I'm going to read this just as a testimony to God. This is an incredible, incredible section of Scripture. Isaiah 45, verses 18 through 25. "For this is what the Lord says, who created the heavens. He is God, one God. He fashioned and made the earth, one globe. He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, 'I am the Lord, and there is no other.' Have I not spoken in secret, and from somewhere in the land of darkness? Have I not said to Jacob's descendants, 'Seek me in vain'? Seek, and you shall find," Scripture says. I love that. "I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. Gather together and come. Assemble, you fugitives from the nations. Ignorant are those who carry about the idols of wood, who pray to gods who cannot save." That would be the Hindu gods. "Declare what is to be. Present it. Let them take counsel. Who foretold this long ago, and who declared it from distance past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me. A righteous God and a what?
Savior.
Savior. There is none by me. One God, one globe, and then check this out, one goal. Turn to me and be saved. All you ends of the earth. All you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn." What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? He said, "All authority has been given to me." By himself he has sworn. By his authority. "My mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me every knee shall bow, and every tongue will swear. They will say of me, 'In the Lord alone you are righteous in strength.' All who have raged against me will come to him and be put to shame. But in the Lord, all the descendants of Israel will be found righteous and will exalt." My prayer for you guys is this. We go to a Christian school. No, I don't any longer, but used to. And I think we take for granted the truth that we've been given. I got to thinking about this week. God is global. He is the only God, and he has a goal for our lives. What is that goal? What is that truth? My prayer for this conference is that we'll just relish, that it will be renewed and that revived in that truth. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for you guys. Dear Jesus, Lord, thank you, God, for being true. You are the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. Lord, let us be people that are known for proclaiming that. Let us be like the early church once again, and proclaim your name and be known confront people, and that your word would convict people, and that people may be converted to you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.